Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! All right, here we go. I don't want to go too long. There was a TI employee walking by. I don't want to scare the hell out of her. Good times on the way on a Friday. It might be loud in here. We got the last couple for the Breeders' Cup. Tomorrow's a big day here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, TI Vegas. Breeders' Cup. So we're going to talk to the Burbs at 4:20, Patrick Berbert. So we'll get into that. Salerno's here, Mateo with the setup. Griffin is back in our Findlay Toyota studios. I'm going to get right to it. Because I don't think you're going to remember that yesterday's show. Now, you remember stuff about yesterday's show, especially if I prompt you with a video, which we'll get to your stupid kicking proclamation.
Oh, give me a break.
We both watched movies yesterday, yes. Which I really appreciate. Because over the course of time, we've been kind of inconsistent, up and down. I like participation coming out of the show regarding stuff we talk about. And we've had people in the past, and we've had people run the show who took a pride in not watching anything we ever talked about. I can't afford it. Gave them money for a subscription. Just use it on, like, pizza. Refused to show personality on the show. Griffin does it. Right, but I don't know about Griffin's TV setup. But we talked about Halloween movies yesterday. And we were talking about scary characters. We talked about the scariest athletes in the history of sports. Like, if you met up with them, Greg then turned it into, could we go in a room, the three of us, Griffin, myself, and Salerno, could we go in a room and get out of the room? I still don't think we could get out of a room with Khabib from MMA. But I mentioned yesterday, we were talking Mike Myers, and then it popped in my head I had seen It. And Pennywise. And I'd always see Pennywise the Mask at Halloween. And I was kind of like, didn't really know what it was. And then I saw the movie and I was like, this is awesome. Like, little kids are getting shredded. This thing can basically come from anywhere. There's no rules. Just like Freddy Krueger. I hadn't seen Nightmare on whatever it is, Elm Street, in like 20 years. I watched that last week and I'm like, there's no rules with this. This is bullcrap. I need rules and structure. Did you follow through or will you and watch It and Pennywise?
I watched it last night for Halloween.
All right.
It was the – I'll tell you this. I didn't know what I was getting into. I just figured, hey, it's Halloween. Might as well watch a movie. We talked about it on the show. Got good reviews. I don't trust you on most things, but on this I do on movies. So I checked it out. And it was, I will say, the best horror movie I think I've ever seen.
Really?
Now, the caveat is I don't really like horror. I don't watch a lot of horror movies. So, right. I mean, I've only watched maybe like 10.
You probably don't even like them.
Not really. I mean, they're kind of campy. This one I thought was, it was like Goonies mixed with Stranger Things, mixed with, I mean, it was just great. Like, even the interaction between the kids I thought was good. It was had like a Stand By Me vibe to it a little bit with the bullet.
That's like a 30, what year was that movie? Was it 89?
Which movie?
It.
Oh, man, I think I watched a different one.
You might have watched there's a newer one.
Yeah, I watched the new version.
I haven't seen the new one, but you're raving about it, so.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Well, that's fine. You know what I didn't
about
say?
Two different movies.
I didn't say watch the first one or the second one.
I didn't even know there was another one. Anyways, I watched the newer one, I guess. So. But anyways, that was really good, I thought.
There's also a miniseries. I guess it came out shortly after the movie, which I've never
seen. Yes, that I've never seen either, but I remember it.
It has Richard Thomas. Wasn't he the kid on the Waltons?
Oh, yeah.
And Tim Reed was in it.
Yeah. No, I never saw that one, but I know what you mean. I've seen like the ads for it and stuff back in the day.
All right. So you liked it.
I loved it. I mean, if it's the same story, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sure it's pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good. The kids were great. I thought the kids were really good actors in it. Usually that's like, you know, hit or miss. They overact and stuff.
Griffin, do you ever feel prompted after we have a conversation about TVs or movies to check it out shortly after the show?
A lot of the time I've seen what you guys are usually talking about. Like when it comes to the It movies, I saw the old one. I've seen the new ones. But you guys do have pretty good taste in film and television. So if you ever mention something I haven't seen, I'll probably check it out.
All right. Last night, and I did wind up passing out candy.
I did too.
There was a whole change. I told you the significant other, the SO, was going to go to a friend's house. Should I do this on the air? I think friends of friends listen. I'm going to do it. That friend canceled on my girlfriend. She texted over, hey, I'm constipated.
That's why she couldn't come?
That's why she couldn't have my girlfriend over her house to pass out candy. She was not going to be able to get through Halloween constipated. I'm like,
you're going to be constipated either way, right? I mean, what's the difference if somebody's there or not?
I don't know.
That seems like an excuse.
Yes. I mean, it's fact.
It sounds like I have to wash my cat or one of those things, you know?
I don't know. So we handed out candy. I have to say that I think some of the neighborhood was listening to my rules. Remember when I talked about rules yesterday, 3:40? I think I scared them away.
Uh-oh.
Because my rules were, one, if you're over 6 feet tall, no candy.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're some gargantuan, you know, what is it, a pituitary gland challenge 13-year-old?
Yeah.
Tough luck. If you come up with a shopping bag, like from Smith's, no candy.
That one's rough.
That is rough. And my other one was, we have to say trick or treat.
That's fair, I guess.
So
Unless they're tiny, right?
That was the thing. If you're like, if you're three and up.
Yeah. Okay.
If you got to teach your kid. I mean, to me, that's on the parents. It's not. And I think kids, they might get a little lazy when they're a little bit older. But here's the thing. We left the door open, but like the security door, with a light on. So you could see there's something going on.
Sure.
And so anyone who came up knew, like, we weren't standing right there. So everyone had to yell trick or treat.
I see.
And then there was one kid who, like, didn't say it. And I'm like, what do you got? What do you have to say?
And what'd he say?
Trick or treat.
Voice was that deep?
Yeah.
Who was this kid?
You're right on the bag thing, because Xavier Pope gave me the guilt trip, too. A shopping bag does count.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, there were also kids who came up with no bag.
Yeah, like, I had a couple of those.
Where are you putting this candy?
I know, I didn't get it either. Also, I had a lot of, instead of trick-or-treats, happy Halloween. And I was like, all right.
I like that because that's my, as they're walking away, I'm like, hey, yeah, happy Halloween. Because there's always parents in the background.
Right.
Generally, yeah. I would say 80% of the kids' parents were looming in the background.
What do you think about this one? Because, okay, this lady came last night, and she was obviously a grown woman. Came to the door and did trick-or-treat, but she had two little tiny kids waiting for her on the sidewalk because they were scared to come to the door.
I can accept that.
Okay. Yeah, I gave her candy.
Yeah, so if she's filling in. Yeah. Slutty?
Nah, it was like a dinosaur. You know those big dinosaur outfits?
I had a guy come up in like the old school. I guess it's kind of new school. It would be like Mysterio, but I'll go way back, like a Mil Mascaris.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the luchadors.
Oh, like Nacho Libre?
He came up with the cape, the mask, and he was shirtless. And I was like, okay. It was a little startling.
That's great.
Because I can't, you know, you can't really see when you're coming out of a lit area to a dark area.
And this is a grown man?
It was a grown man, but he had a little, it wasn't just him. No, he had a baby. Okay, he had a little baby.
I thought it was just like a grown man walking around with a shirt off, trick-or-treating.
Overall, it was a good time, and I learned some lessons.
Okay.
But I did learn that I shouldn't talk about it on the air because it was the lowest output.
Bad turnout?
There was no one trick-or-treating.
Oh, man.
But I think trunk-or-treat has taken over. I think there are neighborhoods, like our buddy Mike Gramala, who's on the morning show. He covers UNLV. He was bragging about the full candy bars. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe our neighborhood's just been phased out.
Yeah, mine was actually pretty busy. But I live in a brand-new neighborhood, though, so they're probably excited for the first year doing it or something. You know, it's like not even finished.
Look at you, brand-new neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm name-dropping my neighborhood. Man.
Well, for a while you didn't have one.
That's true.
For a while you were Howard Hughes.
Wow, that wasn't brand new. Yeah. I was in somebody else's neighborhood.
Those are special times. All right, we got the full NFL slate to get through, or two. We're going to get some picks for college football as well. But up next, let's talk some Sheffin. Let's talk some Eagles. Let's talk some Raiders and Chiefs and Alabama football. It's all on deck. It's all on deck. It's all available. Whatever we want to talk about. Mark McMillan, Chef Mark is up.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we got the chef coming up. Remember, Treasure Island, great spot for a great dinner. Multiple spots in here, but Phil's is awesome. Right here at Treasure Island, must visit for anyone looking to indulge in a truly memorable dining experience. You can start out on the menu with some baked oysters. From there, you pick what you want, man. You want the Wagyu pork rack, you want the Red Scarlet Snapper, you get a whole lobster, upwards of 2 pounds, you can get the Australian lobster tail, and then there's a bunch of different steaks from 8 ounces up to the big boy, 24 ounces. Phil Steakhouse, inside Treasure Island, we're hanging out here at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. You're not going to squint the whole show, are you?
I'm like seeing purple blotches. It's like, so
I got a little, well, because, let's bring in Mark McMillan. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? You got me all hyped up. You talking about grilling oysters. You talking about steaks. Come on, man. You're right in my wheelhouse.
I know. Phil's is awesome. Mark, I got to tell you, we've had a lighting issue with the angles of the table here at Golden Circle. Greg Salerno is actually on video is darker than you.
He welcome to the dark side, baby.
Well, he colored his beard, and he, I don't know, there's something about the lighting. So I got him a ring light, and now he's squinting and blinking. So I really can't win here.
I look like the son of the Teletubbies now. It's like a floating face. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Hey, as long as you're not using that ring light for them OnlyFans pages, man, you are all right.
Huh? Who knows what Greg does on the weekend? He can borrow and bring it back on Monday. All right, well, let's start talking a little baseball here before we get to some of the chefing and then the football this weekend. What's up? What's up, Feller?
What's up, man?
How are you? You good? We'll get you the information on the slot tournament here in a second. Sorry, you a lot of things to do here, Mark. So give me your reaction as a SoCal guy, as a Compton guy, and then, of course, you went frou-frou and you moved to the Valley. But as a guy who's got an L.A. background, what do the Dodgers mean to you in terms of winning the World Championship here?
Oh, it means everything. Like I said, growing up in L.A., growing up down the street from the Coliseum, going to baseball games with my granddad at like 7, 8 years old, and hearing him share his little transistor radio to hear Vince Scully call the game, man, it just brought back so many memories. And our group text with my family was going nuts because, you know, that's just memories that you never forget. You know, I was 7, 8 years old, and I still remember going to Dodger games, watching Dusty Baker, Steve Garvey, you know, and those guys, man. And having my granddad there, man, was really cool, man. So, man, it was amazing.
You know, Greg Salerno is actually a Yankee fan.
Oh, sorry about that, buddy.
It's okay. Hey, look, I knew going in we were going to lose anyway. I told Steve before the series even started there was no way we were going to win. So it's fine. I get it. It's all good. Hey, I got to ask you this, though, since we got you here. We were talking about this yesterday. You know, baseball parity, not even just because the teams are even, just the way baseball is by nature, it's so hard to repeat. Do you think the Dodgers have a chance of repeating next year?
It's so hard in any sport to repeat, but the Chiefs did do it in football, you know, and the Patriots done it in football. But baseball, the way that lineup is scheduled, man, and then half their pitchers was on IR. So right. they're going to have like 6 or 7 starting pitchers, and Shohei is one of them, which is crazy. And, you know, everybody loves the winner. Everybody loves to play in L.A. or New York. You know, obviously the Mets came on late, but what the Dodgers are doing, man, is incredible, and everybody knows they're willing to spend money, and like I said, if I was a baseball player, I wouldn't mind going to L.A. and trying to get myself a ring, but hopefully they can run up a couple World Series with this lineup, but like I said, money talks, and they definitely have a money roster to be able to go back-to-back.
So I'll give you 4 choices on this decision. You're a former pro athlete. I don't know if you're ever in a position to get, you know, 10 years and $600 million, but Juan Soto is in that position. Would you pick L.A., Chicago, New York, or go for the highest amount of money, even if the team's not good, just go for the money?
You got to go L.A. or New York. You know, those are the 2 big markets. You know you're going to be on the national stage. Their fan bases travel unlike any other. Besides Chicago. Chicago travels probably, man, they're up there in the top 5 as far as fans traveling to see the Cubs. But I would go to L.A. or New York. Those are the 2 top markets. You know you're going to have a good, solid team on both ends. You're going to have a good manager. So I would say those will be my top cities to play in.
So we got something building on Cofield and Company, and Mark McMillan's with us, Chef Mark, where we've got a little competition with our hashtag CNC chefs. I've got a whole ranking system. Mark's on top, and some of the guys behind him are like, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal on why Mark is number 1, and it's not just the next level chef appearance. It's the fact that if you're cooking at a barbecue for 6 people, that's cool. But Mark just did 2 events. How many people did you have to serve at the South Point 400 at LVMS a couple weeks ago?
South Point, it was like 50 people that showed up. So, these are different fans, and, you know, everybody was pleased, everybody was excited about it, and then I had to go to USA Today Food and Wine Festival, and I cooked for over 500 people, you know, and then fast forward to this past weekend, 2 days at Flankers they cooked, man, 2 days at Flankers. So I would say over the last 3 weeks, man, I cooked for probably over 1,500 to 2,000 people.
Jeez,
I can't make it for two people. So,
right.
There's a whole thing. You got to get the food out. It's got to be somewhat hot. It's got to be pretty consistent across the board. At the joint over at Mandalay, Flankers, you must have gone through how many pounds or cases of ribs and brisket did you go through?
Oh, they said the first night, Saturday night, they went through 30 cases of ribs. 30 cases Damn. Of ribs in one day. And so they were excited. I think he did like 15 briskets that Saturday. Then the next day, they did even better numbers because the Chiefs won and everybody came right back to Flanker. So, I don't even know what was the total. I'm still waiting for the total, how many ribs. But they bought up all the sauce in Nevada. All my sauce, all my spices, Ace Hardware, the barbecue concept. My phone has been blowing up. These guys are like, we need sauce. They bought everything.
If you get an item on that menu, what do you want to do?
Oh, man. I would say I'm like 99% positive that Flankers is going to put the Grilla McMillan barbecue burnt-in wedge salad on the menu because the wedge salad, everybody loves it. It's a little lettuce. Then you got the burnt-in that I think he said it took probably like 12 to 13 hours. So the burnt-in wedge salad will be on Flankers menu. You can't make this up, Steve. This is incredible, man. I went from barbecuing in the backyard with you, starting off slow. Now I'm having stuff on menus inside Mandalay Bay. Come on now.
It was like 8 years ago. I'm like, man, your plating looks really good in your backyard.
You were saying that, but Gordon Ramsay and his team was like, man, that looks like crap. You need to step your game up.
It's all you learn along the way, right? Salerno's here. It's Mark McGrillin on the phone, the former Chief. Eagle played with several other teams in the National Football League. I don't think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, but right now they're the team with the best record. How are they doing this?
Andy Reid, and they're winning by defense. Spags has those boys really getting after it on the defensive side of the ball, and they lost some key players on the defensive side of the ball as well. But Spags, the way he designs defense, he's able to get after the quarterback. Mahomes is not acting to be the magician that he's been in the past. You know, obviously it seemed like when they played against the Raiders, he just found a newfound of youth. Him and Kelsey, all of a sudden they want to go for 10 catches and almost 100 yards and two TDs. And Kelsey hasn't had that kind of performance all year. So they just keep pulling the rabbits out of the hat, man. So it's some good teams out there. I know a lot of people not talking about the Bills who are just going along about their business. I still like the Ravens. I still like Lamar. I still like the running game. You'll like that defense. So there's some teams out there that, like you said, are probably playing better statistically than the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are still undefeated.
Mark, we talked last time about, I think we were going into the Browns game at the time, and we were talking about the Eagles maybe firing Coach Sirianni. Since then, they've won three in a row. Jalen hasn't turned the ball over. The defense looks better. Have they turned the corner, or are they just playing crap teams?
Well, nobody's in the NFL is crap. I can't say right. that. I know a lot of people talked about the Browns, and then all of a sudden Jameis Winston comes in and he beats the Ravens.
Right.
You know, and they lose Amari Cooper. So anybody in the NFL can be beat. I wouldn't say they turned a corner. They still got some work to do on the defensive side of the ball. But when you get Brown and you get Smitty back, that's major. You know,
yeah.
Saquon, if Derrick Henry wasn't doing what he was doing, everybody will be talking about Saquon Barkley because he's having a really good year. And he's been keeping us in a lot of games. He's playing physical, and he's playing nasty. That's, you know, usually you see Saquon smiling, but he's going downhill, and he's trying to punish some people. So, like I said, when you get A.J. back, you get Smitty back, you know, it makes a big-time difference.
Is there a chance down the stretch here that they – because, you know, last year they were 10-0, kind of winning games like the Chiefs are. Like, you're not really sure why they're winning, but they're just winning. And then they completely fell apart. Is it maybe – possible this year they do the opposite? They kind of start off, you know, not so good and then maybe go on a run down the stretch?
Well, you know, as long as Jalen is playing the way he's playing right now, turnover-free Jalen.
Right.
You know, just
yeah.
And relying on the running game. Like I said, it seems like he heard a lot of people talk about run the ball more, you know, just give Jalen some opportunities to use his weapons more. You know, not being able to having to throw into double coverage because you can't double cover Smitty and AJ. So, somebody is always single, so that helps out a quarterback as well. But like I said, man, as long as Jalen just keeps the playing like this, and, you know, we still need some help in our secondary because guys are – we can't tackle worth a damn. So we need some help back there.
Mark, let's close on UNLV. You watch UNLV and Boise play last week. The Rebels have a bye. Boise plays tonight against San Diego State. Quickly, give me your impression of both teams. What do you think?
You know what? I thought that it was a well-played game. It just sucked, man, that the referee still had a little part in that game. I just wanted these guys to be able to go out there and play the game, not worry about the whistle, some of the calls that they were being made, I just didn't understand it. As a player, I'm still trying to scratch my head at some of those calls they were making. But, man, UNLV is a tough team, and I'm sure Boise knew it as well. They had a fight. They were in a dogfight. UNLV was actually leading going into the fourth quarter. But like I said, man, the running game kind of kicked in, and the quarterback used his legs really well to make some plays. But like I said, those are two of the top teams in the division, and hopefully they'll be able to meet again. But it was pretty cool to see Genty. He's only like 5'8". I thought he was a little taller than that.
Yeah.
But he is built like a Mack truck below. So, you know, it was good to see that young man in person, to see him play, because he's definitely going to be a first-round pick.
Mark, good job, man. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Have some steak for me, fellas.
There he is, Mark McMillan. Yeah, I don't think we ordered Phil's today, do we? Just giving him a pop.
Yeah,
maybe we can get some Phil's over here. Why not?
Why not?
Want to remind you, Monday we're back at Ellis Island for Monday Night Football. They got kind of a cool double dip. They got normal Monday Night Football party with a ton of cool prizes, like the VIP pack to drink all the beer you want, and 27 items on the menu, the all-you-can-eat menu. But they're also going to be doing a girls' night theme called Teenies and Weenies. Martinis, got the hot dogs, you got the special ladies' menu. They're also going to be playing music. Taylor Swift and Girly Pop Hits. They wrote that. I didn't. I don't know what Girly Pop Hits are. I could put together a list of what I think Girly Pop Hits are. But the martinis and the weenies flow. But here's the thing. You got to RSVP because their events really fill up quickly. So reach out to them. EllisIslandCasino.com. It's Teenies and Weenies. Monday Night Football, Bucks and Chiefs. And, of course, Cofield & Company is on the scene every Monday starting at 3 o'clock.
Uncle, we got a 24-pound turkey.
Hey, isn't he a whopper? I think I'll go back and take a look at it.
And now, Uncle, don't start sampling it tonight.
Oh, yeah, the holidays are beginning.
That turkey
I say so,
the best
so it counts.
You know,
so we, by the middle of November, will be playing holiday songs and Christmas songs. That's just the way it is. And I might back it up a week to start next week. Now, this is always the retort to this, because I love the holidays.
Well, I don't want to do it until after Thanksgiving. Where's all the Thanksgiving songs?
Okay, well, there you get a little song there. It was a little messy, but you get a little Thanksgiving pop with the turkey. I actually saw a thread today on this where a guy was saying, before you complain about Christmas songs, give me a list of Thanksgiving songs. Okay.
I was just going to say that. I don't even know what's a Thanksgiving song.
I sent over 8 today. I'll say conservatively, I'll have 15 by the end of the weekend.
What's a famous Thanksgiving song?
There's nothing famous because they don't get a life. So we're gonna bring
right.
Thanksgiving to you,
okay,
and the audience, and then we are going to start mixing in the holiday classics.
I'm all for it.
There you go. Just getting Tony Neville to tell you what's going on here at Golden Circle. So there you go. College football and a lot of horse racing. A lot of horse racing. Breeders' Cup, it's a big deal. It's, you know, the end of the year celebration for the horses. So I did actually turn on. I did actually turn on a holiday channel today because Satellite has some of their channels up. Jimmy Fallon has a new channel. I was belting out, as I pulled in here, I was belting out Silent Night. Let's go.
What is it?
Where are you? Where are you on this? Because Adam Hill hates the holidays.
Love
hates
him.
The music. You do good.
I love the music. I love the holidays, and I can't stand people that are Scrooges about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to be happy. We're going to make you happy. And if you're not happy,
right.
Get happy.
We'll force you to drink pumpkin spice.
Yes.
If I have to.
Oh, come on. I had pumpkin spice coffee this morning.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
We're in.
Man.
We do this.
I don't know if they're still a client, but Crumble Cookies has a.
They're not.
Oh, well, they got a pumpkin spice cookie.
I think they reneged on Pang.
Oh, really?
No, I made that up. Okay. Totally made it up. They're a fine company.
Anyways, the pumpkin spice cookie is amazing. I couldn't believe it.
I'm pretty sure come Monday, rumors have it that the bill wasn't paid. People are getting fired.
Really?
No. I'm making it up again. I don't know why.
Damn it. I fell for it twice in 20 seconds.
Is Adam Schefter a bum or a hero?
I'm going to tell you something. You know how they talk about ratings all the time? I don't think this gets enough attention when they talk about ratings. When they talk about ratings have dropped in sports and stuff like that. Apparently, Adam Schefter got caught watching a, you know, whatever, a pirated channel, whatever you want to say, one of those things on the internet where you watch the stuff for free, a stream, during the Jets game.
So let me get this right, Griffin. He pulled a video of Corley dropping the ball at the goal line, but he doesn't know how to pull it off of Amazon the right way. So he was using an illegal streaming site and pulled it and left the logo of the streamer on his video that he put out. He's got like millions of followers.
Yeah.
Is that right, Griffin?
Not only did ESPN not give this man access to watch the game from whatever streaming channel or anything else, they didn't teach him how to cover up a logo in the corner of a video.
If you make millions, is it possible that you don't shop on Amazon? I mean, it's pretty well established now. I don't like shopping with all the marts and the zons.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would think you do, and if you do, then what do you like paying for shipping? I don't want to do a commercial here for Amazon, but
I couldn't imagine living without it. Again, I guess I'm doing one for him too, but I don't know how you.
I have no control of it at this point. We get a package every day. The SO is
just,
she's a shopaholic.
Anything I order comes from them mostly.
So you get the TV with it,
right? For at least for Thursday.
He doesn't have access. I mean, that's. I don't want to do this because there are things I will not pay for that are probably within my job purview.
Yeah.
But he's one of the top NFL insiders. He doesn't have access to the Thursday night games.
Is it possible that somebody sent it to him and then he posted it or something?
That is very possible.
You know?
Are you suggesting he's lazy?
I think maybe he's got dudes that work for him, you know, like we don't. And when they do stuff for him and whatever, he doesn't always scan and everything, you know.
Should Amazon look to prosecute him to the fullest? Come on. Let's do this.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I guess.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Bezos is pissed.
Did he say
shut
that?
Shut up.
He's going to be when he sees this show.
Did he schedule a press conference or something?
Oh God.
I'm waiting for it.
If there was a war between Jeff Bezos and Adam Schefter, that would make my holidays.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, if I owned Amazon, I wouldn't be happy about it because you're showing everybody online that you don't have to watch. I mean, that's not cool. People, you know, they make fun of it, but I know as like a comic or something, or I don't know, if a musician or something puts something out there and then people just steal it. That's not cool.
Should Adam Schefter be suspended?
No. I don't know. No. Because he's going to use an excuse. Say somebody sent it to him.
So what? Use some common sense.
Eh,
he's a weird guy because he's in the crosshairs about every month or something he sends out or the way he words things.
Yeah, or tweets somebody something weird or something. Or, I mean, texts.
He's a strange guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Coming up, College Football Insider, Michael Felder, Bleacher Report, and Learfield. We'll get into the big game of the weekend between Ohio State and Penn State.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Don't forget, this weekend, Gilly's world-famous bikini bull riding, Sunday, November 3rd, 9:30. Ladies, test your skills. Mechanical bull, you can compete for a chance to win $200. Let's do it. All right, we got a big college football game coming up with Ohio State and Penn State. Michael Felder joined me a little while ago, Bleacher Report and Learfield, and we got right into it. What are the keys for the game, Mike?
All right, step one is Ohio State's defense recognizing where Tyler Warren is. He is six five, 250-pound man who somehow keeps getting lost by every single team. And so that's Ohio State needs to know where that guy is for Penn State. That's number one, job one. Ohio State on the offensive side of the ball has to realize, what if we just run fast and throw the ball far? And those are, to me, that's the game.
Okay.
If you're Ohio State and you want to win, you need to know where this guy is, and then you also need to run fast and throw the ball far. Like I'm breaking it down. Like we're talking about like alphabet blocks in this one. It's not this is not trigonometry. Like they're not going to scheme it up. But I do think that for both of these teams, Penn State and Ohio State, the key is they overthink things and the coaches overthink things and Franklin overthinks it. And then obviously we see Ohio State overthink it. Ryan Day, I call him perfect play Ryan Day because he keeps trying to get them into perfect plays. And at the end of the game, when things are condensed, when the clock is tight, when things are short, he still tries to dictate. And we saw it when he was coaching Justin Fields. We've seen it obviously now with Will Howard. You've got to get the ball out. CJ Stroud was the only guy that really was allowed to make decisions. And you got to let your quarterback make decisions. If you don't empower your quarterbacks, if you don't empower him to be in charge. And I do think the helmet comms are an interesting element here, but yeah, I definitely think that Penn State, I don't think they're that good, but Franklin puts them in a position where every game looks the same for them. Every game looks the same. They're in a position to win no matter what. And so we'll see if they're going to be in the position at the end of the football game, because that's when Ohio State really starts to kind of shrink back, shirk.
So I go back to Friday night and biggest group of five game of the year, and UNLV fell a little bit short against Boise State. And there were some reasons. They made some mistakes, self-inflicted wounds. But one of the things that actually connects them with the other loss, the Rebels in the Syracuse game, is the tight end. And they had trouble keeping hold of the tight end. And that's, you know, that was a big deal in that one. And now what it's set up is Boise controls its own destiny for the most part. It can get into the college football playoff. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team, but I also don't think there are a lot of great teams around the country.
Yeah.
What I'm watching now is what's going to happen with Boise in this first game out of the UNLV game against San Diego State. And now we have to start looking at the Big 12, Mike. You start looking at the Big 12 and the schedule and the cannibalization that's going to happen. Everyone out there who puts out their brackets, you need to start getting into your head that Boise State, with a bunch of wins here, if ranked properly by the college football playoff committee rankings, Boise State could actually steal the four seed and the bye.
That's the part that's scary. Scary is the wrong word. I think it's cool.
I say fun.
Yeah, fun is a good word. I said cool. You said fun. Yeah. Hey, let's do it. But it's, they can continue to climb. And that's the part that's going to be really interesting, is if they continue to climb. I don't think they can steal the four seed, because that's like kind of guaranteed to those guys. Unless they climb over top of them.
Right.
That's the part that's going to be interesting. But if they win those games, they're going to be they're hovering. And I say it with these SEC teams, with Alabama, Ole Miss, and like, they're lurking. Lurking, I think, might be even a better word. They're lurking. And if they take care of business, they certainly will have the opportunity to be right there in the mix. Because here's the part. And if you're Notre Dame, you got to be looking at Boise State like, if they keep winning, they are guaranteed a spot. We keep winning, we're not guaranteed anything with respect to Notre Dame. So, but Notre Dame also, what are they going to do? They beat an undefeated Navy team 51-14. They got a chance against Army as well to beat another undefeated team, or possibly undefeated team. And who knows what they're going to do to them. I don't think that Army's going to give them the football six times like Navy did. I mean, that was insane. But I think if I'm Boise State, I'm looking behind me, not looking ahead of me, because I don't want any of these people to catch me. And so I'm putting my head down, I'm going forward, and I'm listening for footsteps. And if I hear them, I'm going faster, I'm going harder. And I also imagine this. Imagine JT wins the Heisman. That would be amazing. Because we have I'm trying to think, in my lifetime, I'm almost 40. Have we seen a non-Power 5 guy win the Heisman? We've seen him come close with Byron Leftwich, Randy Moss. Are they all from Marshall, Chad Pennington? But who? We haven't seen that happen, right?
I'd have to look up when Marshall Faulk finished in the voting.
And LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
I guess, is he the answer?
Right, yeah.
There we go.
I went before TCU got to the Graceland. Mm-hmm. Michael Felder's with us. Learfield, Bleacher Report. You can sign up for his Substack multiple time a week newsletter. It's felder.substack.com. Mm-hmm. Let's start breaking down some games here, other important games this week. You know, before I do that, though, this is a special time of year. Because for me, I went in the garage. I just started taking down the bins with the Christmas stuff. I will start gradually putting stuff up the first week of November. I do it. I love the holidays. For you, it is turkey time. And this is a very important time. If you expect to be ready in late November with turkey and then all the fixings and then leftover turkey, like, you have to get ready now, don't you?
Yeah, there's – so I run into a lot of people that say that turkey is not good. Turkey is good. You're bad at it. And that's just the reality. Like, turkey's good. Turkey is delicious. I sent my wife to school. She goes – she's a teacher. I sent her to school with a turkey wrap, a turkey Swiss bacon wrap. It's good. Yeah. She loves it. If you're not – if turkey – it does if the turkey that you have isn't good, that's a you problem. And the reason it is because you cook turkey once a year. One time a year. How can you be good if you cook it once a year? Imagine, what are we doing? If you do something once a year, how can you be good at it?
Right.
And that's the thing that really, like, I'll even circle it back to you. Like, when you decorate for Christmas, you take the time and you get these reps, even though you do it once a year, in theory, what you're doing is over multiple days, multiple weeks, all this time, you're spending that time and you're adjusting and you're learning and you're figuring this stuff out. People think they're going to roll out of bed on November 28th and just make a turkey. No.
Outrageous.
It's insane. So I already have my menu built. I already have everything that I need, like all the like things that are non-perishables that I need, like the seasoning and all this stuff. I already have that. I'm ready to go. Cook my first, not my first bird of the year. I cooked a breast this weekend and it was great. Injected, and it was so good, and it just is magnifique. It just is, it's one of those things where if you don't do it, because I also feel like people are missing out on things that could be good. Turkey bacon ranch, if you haven't had like a turkey bacon ranch sandwich or turkey bacon ranch wrap, like homemade, you're missing out. Smoked turkey, fried turkey, grilled, roasted. This is my... I know the Super Bowl's in February, but this is my Super Bowl.
I know it is. It's special. Love turkey time every week up until Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Well, it's been a turkey of a season. Sorry to use the word in a derogatory way, but it's been a turkey of a season for Michigan. A real issue is that quarterback. Obviously, Harbaugh, great coach. Maybe the downgrade here to Sherrone Moore. Can they get up for this game against Oregon, potentially spoil Oregon's season, at least make it a game as Oregon's dropping 14.5 here by the spread?
I'm banging the Ducks, dude. I am hammering Oregon. I think that for them, they want to make their name known. They've already beat Ohio State, but that was a tight margin. I think they want to smoke this team. I think they want to bury them, put them underneath. And that's the part that's going to be interesting to me, because when you think about what they are as a team, they're going to the Big House. Is that right? This game's at the Big House.
It is at the Big House.
They're going to the Big House. They want to put a number on these boys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they scored 50. They are physical. They are mean. And somebody leak me the footage of Dan Lanning's pre-game speech. Give me – I need that footage. I need someone to inject it into my veins, because I know it's going to be angry. He is – Kirby Smart is the apex. This guy's living right underneath Kirby Smart. Give me that, and I'm looking forward to it. I think they take care of business. They're fast. I was talking to Mike Golick Jr. on last Friday, and I said, did it look like Oregon was faster than Ohio State to you? And he said, yeah, they were faster. And I think we're going to see – and if you're faster than Ohio State, by default, that means you're faster than Michigan. And I'm looking forward to watching what this looks like.
So those of us in Group of Five land are always kind of prepping for the screw job in whatever system college football has. So the watch is on Boise and Army and some of these other schools.
Yeah.
This one's interesting because you got a Power Five, check that, Power Four school in Indiana, but they're coming from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Playing really good football. They played the backup last week. Rourke's going to be back. If they lose to Ohio State and they lose close, and they're sitting at the end of the season with one loss, Big Ten team, a second team, could be left out?
If they so that would be in theory, that would be the third team, right?
Correct, because someone else will have to make the title game depending on their record. Right. But Indiana could be the better right. team. So, you know.
I think that I think Indiana is actually very good. Watching them play is one of the weekly treats that I get because they take care of a lot of business and they do a lot of small things well. And again, you mentioned Rourke will be back, and they probably should have lost that game to Washington, and they found a way to make it happen. Michigan State this weekend. Oof. My wife's going to be upset.
Yeah.
She went to Michigan State from 2002 to 2006. I don't think they lost to Indiana in that time frame. And so losing to them is going to hurt her feelings. But they're probably going to lose to them. But if Indiana beats Michigan, obviously if they lose to Purdue, that's a problem. And then obviously the sandwich between that is the Ohio State game. If they lose to Ohio State, they probably won't make it. I don't know what that look. I don't know what the scenario is for them, because if I'm them, I'd like to not go to the Big Ten championship game, finish 11-1. And yes, we have to be in the playoff. So to your point about the group of five, yeah, Indiana's a problem. If you are a group of five fan, you need, I don't care if it's any combination of Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, you need two of them to take them down to make sure that something positive happens for you. And that's just the reality. But I'm still looking at the AAC like, what does this look like? Because I still don't understand what we're going to do the week after they've made the selection and Army has to play Navy.
Mike, great job. Great job. Get working on the turkeys. I'm looking forward to more turkey talk and then playoff talk down the stretch here. Thank you.
No problem.
There he is, Michael Felder. You can sign up for his newsletter at itsfelder.substack.com. Giveaway time. College basketball season right around the corner starts up on Monday. South Carolina women are in town. Ohio State and Texas are also playing in a doubleheader. That's the men's side of things. AXS.com for the Hall of Fame series at T-Mobile Arena. Caller number 7 right now, 364-1100.